at this time, it's my privilege to introduce Brother Jerry Turner and his backup singers. Did I get that right, brother? This is Jerry Turner, Deborah Peel, Laney McGarg. We got Jess Twilley playing the bass and Brother Ken Ferguson playing the piano. Let's give them a warm Hiram First Baptist Church welcome.
And Joe was my favorite preacher at one time.
Whoa.
Okay, now it's started.
Sin and separate.
Go ahead. All right.
Sin.
Sin is separating man's communion with God, longing for Messiah to come. But in just one evening, things would change forevermore with the announcement from angels above.
Christ is born,
let all the world proclaim.
Christ is born, things will never be the same. God is here
to bring peace to everyone. Joy is here and lives on, for Christ is born.
Come on, put them together. If you're going to do it, do it. Sounds good. Thank you.
The world was looking for a king to be born. But born in gold, power, and might. But
he was poor in his surroundings, but rich in majesty. While all his story you will see.
Christ is born,
let all the world proclaim.
Christ is born, things will never be the same.
God is here to bring peace to everyone. Joy is here and lives on. Christ is born. Let all the world proclaim.
Christ is born.
Things will never be the same.
God is here
to bring peace to everyone. Joy is here and lives on. For Christ is born.
God is here
to bring peace to everyone. Joy is here and lives on. For Christ is born. Hallelujah, Christ is born.
Amen.
Well, mercy.
Well. You know what? Y'all don't act like the first church.
No, they don't.
When I heard we was going to the first church, I took a bath last night, cleaned up, got cut my nails, got all ready. I didn't know what to expect, but man, I tell you what, this is like being at home. This is like being at home. You understand what I'm saying? What a day that will be. Amen. Brother Joe, thank you for letting us be here. Kendra, thank you for inviting us to come. We really appreciate that. Keith, where are you? The music man. You know, Keith, he didn't want to hear us sing. He's not in here. You know, he's gone. Where is he? There he is. Thank you, Keith. Thank you for allowing us to come and be with you today. I don't know what all that noise is, but is that us? Oh, don't hold it at the bottom. Okay, thank you.
It was me.
That's right. All right, we're going to sing another song. Do y'all mind? Okay, here we go. Put them together.
Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want and worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe. Oh, oh. But when I would stumble, then I would humble down. And there would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Oh, the devil took me and he tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, and worldly fame. If I could have still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Ain't nothing in the world that'll ever take the place of God's love. Silver and gold could never buy a mighty touch from above. Oh, if a soul needs healing and I begin to feel in his power, I'd say, thank the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, and worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around.
Well, he's
offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Well, I
wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around.
Sing it with me.
Offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, and worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey
now.
I don't know how it feels back here where y'all are. I'm telling you what, it feels good up here. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place this morning.
Yes.
I tell you what, Satan is so mad because we're praising him today. And I tell you what, I enjoy making Satan mad. I don't know about y'all, but I do. We're going to sing another Christmas song. It's Christmas season. Can y'all believe that? Can y'all believe that? Lady here, are you the one who was talking about the angels a while ago? Well, when she was talking about the angels, you know, I just, something about that just bore up in my heart. It just swelled up because around the house, the truth be known, my wife, pretty wife, stand up, pretty wife, stand up, stand up, turn around and let them see. Come on, stand up. She does the same way at the house, you know. We'll talk about that later. But anyhow, she's pretty. Y'all come up here and see her sometime. But anyhow, my point was, the lady was talking about angels, and all of a sudden something swelled my heart because that's one of the names my wife calls me all the time around the house is angel. She does, because she says I'm always up in the air about something. Y'all got it back there? Always up in the air about some angels. There we go. All right, good. We're going to sing a song called Unspeakable Joy.
Joy, joy, unspeakable joy, music is filling the air. Glory, oh glory to God, angels are everywhere. Promised Messiah, our Emmanuel, Alpha, Omega, and King.
Yes, amen.
The hope of the ages at last has been born.
Yes.
Let's join all creation and sing.
Joy, joy, unspeakable joy, music is filling the air. Glory, oh glory to God, angels are everywhere.
Come and adore him. him, young Mary's sweet boy, there in the manger asleep. Satan's defeat will be taken away by the Lamb lying there with the sheep.
Joy, joy, unspeakable joy. Music is filling the air.
Well,
glory, oh glory to God. Angels are everywhere. Joy, joy, unspeakable joy. Music is filling the air.
Well,
glory, oh glory to God. Angels are everywhere. Angels are everywhere.
Amen.
Sing.
Joy, joy,
joy. Sing it.
Oh, speak upon
joy. Music is filling the air.
Glory to God.
Glory, oh glory to God.
Angels,
angels are everywhere.
Sing it, joy.
Well,
joy, 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 unspeakable joy.
Music
is filling the air.
Well,
glory, oh glory to God. Angels are everywhere. Angels are everywhere.
Amen. Woo. Don't be seated yet. Hold a second, Ken, before you go to the next one. We'll do that chorus one more time. There's a place there where it says, glory to God. Now, if you're not in comfort doing this, again, I know it's the first church, but if you're not in comfort doing this where it says, glory to God, get them airborne. Let's make Satan mad. Come on, put him up in the air where it says, glory to God. Let's just praise him in this place. He's the one that's adoring. He's the one we're worshiping. He's the one that's worthy of our praise and our glory and our adoration. It's all about him. I told Laquita coming over here a little bit earlier. This is my wife. She's standing now. See, I knew she would stand. I told her coming over here, I said, I heard a song on the radio the other day, and it was a little girl talking about, where, she was standing in line to see Santa Claus. She says, where is the line to see Jesus? Have y'all heard that song? I tell you what, it made tears come to my eye when I thought about it. We stand in line to see Santa Claus, but where is the line to see Jesus? Why can't we praise him? We've got more to be thankful for than anybody in this whole wide world. Let's give him praise in this place today. Come on, give him joy. Tell him. Come on, sing it to him.
Here we go.
Sing it with us.
Joy, joy, unspeakable joy. Music is filling the air.
Come on now, glory. Come on.
Glory, oh glory to God. Angels are everywhere. Joy, joy, unspeakable joy. Music is filling the air.
Come on, kids, glory.
Glory, oh glory to God. Angels are everywhere. Angels are everywhere.
Amen. Amen. All right, sit down if you can. We are so tickled to have Brother Ken come play for us today, and Jess. For many years, we worked together and served the Lord together. See, Ken stood up, and I didn't ask him to stand up. Many years we sung and led worship together, and what a blessing it is to have them with us today. He does this song. I've never in my life figured out how he hits so many notes at one time on the piano. And I've been working with him, and he's getting better and better. But anyhow, they're going to play us a little song. You'll recognize it probably at some point, but they do a good job. And Joe, if it's okay, can he play it right quick? All right, here we go. Do it. Good job. Thank you, Ken and Jess. We appreciate that. We're going to sing a song that talks about the fact that we hold a clear title to imagine in heaven. Aren't you glad that we have a home prepared where we're all going to be together? And you know, I heard my dad say one time, we grew up in a Christian home, in a home where we learned to love Jesus. And I heard him say one time to a congregation, he led music in a church. He said, you know, we might as well get used to loving each other here on this earth because we're going to spend eternity together. And so why not just go ahead and practice it while we're here on this earth? So I want to tell y'all something. I love every single one of you. Every single one of you. Y'all, amen? All right, good. Listen to this song. I think it's going to talk to you, speak to you. It does to us. I hold a clear title to imagine in heaven.
A title to a mansion in that land so fair. It was given to me without money, but it cost my dear Savior his life. He died on the cross without murmur for me. He paid a dear price.
These were both signed and recorded the day Jesus saved me from my sin.
Remember that day?
And my name was written down in gold letters there in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Safe
within. He made me an heir to
a
mansion in glory. When from this life here I cease to roam. Oh, and this is the part I'm just waiting for Jesus to call me. Then I'll lay down my cross and I'll go home.
Yes.
I hold a clear title to a mansion that Jesus has gone to prepare. You see, fire cannot touch it, thieves cannot harm it, and it never will need a ages it stands. I hear that it's almost completed, and it's ready for me to move in.
Woo. Praise the Lord. Man, I tell you, it's good. Amen. Give him praise. That's good. That's right. What is he asking us to do? Do that. Can you come back to the second verse, whatever the second verse is? All right, we're going to do it. Just for you, brother. I wanted to anyhow, but I'm glad you asked. Good.
Now my deed was both signed and recorded the day Jesus saved me from my sin.
That ought to tickle you. That ought to get you.
And my name was engraved in gold letters there in the Lamb's Book of Life, safe with a head. He made me an heir to a mansion in glory. When from this life here I cease to roam, oh, I'm just waiting for Jesus to call me. Then I'll lay down and I'll go home.
Yes, yes. I hold a clear title to a mansion that Jesus has gone to prepare. You see, fire cannot harm it. Thieves cannot touch it. And it never will need a repair. No termites can harm its foundation. For old the Rock of Ages it stands. I fear that it's almost
I can't believe you get to preach to these folks all the time. Man, I tell you what's true. By the way, y'all got a good one. I hope y'all know that. You really do. Amen. They're standing all over the house, Joe. We're so thankful and tickled for y'all. Can't tell you how much we are, but what a blessing it is. What a blessing Joe has been to our life and Kendra. This is a song that features Deborah, I think.
Yeah. Hold on just a second, Ken.
Let me finish what I was going to say.
This features
Deborah.
Before I forget it.
I guess y'all have noticed by now that the songs feature Deborah and Lanny. Don't feature Jerry. But Brother Joe said Jerry and his group. Well, the truth of the matter is, I've always thought, I don't know if y'all see it or not, but Brother Lanny here, I told him the other day, I said, you know, Lanny, I said, you've missed your calling. You ought to be an undertaker. Look at him. Don't you? So Lanny wants to name our little group. We don't have a name. He wants to name our little group Lanny and the Gravediggers. And I don't know if that's going to work or not. But Deborah, she's always considered this group hers. And she wants to call it Deborah and the Bus Drivers.
No, the Bus Boys.
The Bus Boys.
What?
The Bus Boys.
Backup singers.
The Backup Singers.
The Bus Boys.
So that's why we've never resolved anything. We don't have anything. But I want you to listen to this song. Deborah's going to talk about it a little bit. It features her. It's a beautiful song.
Before I say anything else, I've got to say this because it just hit me when he was talking about Joe and being the pastor. You people in this church don't realize this, but we went to church with Joe for a long time. And Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I saw Joe sit on that bench and listen to the pastor preach. And you won't believe this, but there's so many Sundays I couldn't name them that I, in my own mind, in my own prayer, said, Lord, please send Joe a church. I just knew that it was just such a waste for him to sit on a bench somewhere. And I am so glad when I got a call from somebody, and I'm not going to say who, nobody from this church actually, said, what do you know about Joe Holcomb? And I said, why do you want to know? And he says, well, they're looking for him as a pastor. I said, oh, say no more. I said, you got the best. So you people take good care of Joe and his family because he and Kendra are dear to our heart. This song is He Rescues Me. Now, this is my song. I know that everybody in here at some point in time in their life has needed to be rescued. Just listen to the words of this song and let it minister to you.
I get closer and closer each day I go through. I feel His presence in everything I do. I know His hands keep me safe and warm, no matter how rough. I don't feel the storm. He rescues me when my ship is tossed at sea. He rescues me when my mountain's too high to see. And when my valley is dark and dry, I can't find a place to hide. Jesus comes and He rescues me.
I don't hope to repay Him, for there's no way I can. I strive because I love Him, and to feel these empty hands. And I cherish each trial that falls to me, for the greater the battle, the sweeter.
At sea, He rescues.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, yeah, you've heard it said, if that doesn't get your fire started, your wood's wet. You know, there are people sitting at home right now feeling sorry for themselves, and they don't realize that they might have just missed the service that could change the rest of their life. You know, we all go through things in our life, and we all deal with things. But there's nothing like being in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God to help you get over whatever's gotten you down. Amen. I really enjoyed that. I did. It don't take much to get my fire burning, and y'all got it going this morning. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord, amen? Now, I'm going to preach for just a few minutes. I'm not going to try to hold you too long. I'm going to get into it and get going so we can get what God wants said this morning. But if you got your Bibles in the book of Mark, chapter number 8, we're going to start reading in the 22nd verse in just a minute. And I want to talk for just a few minutes about the touch of God. You know, we need the touch of God in our services. We need the touch of God in our life. I need the touch of God in anything I'm going to do if I'm going to do it and do it right. And I think the problem we've got in America today, and it can begin at the house of God, is the touch of God is not present like it used to be. Now, we can say we felt the touch of God this morning. Amen? We felt God move in this service. I'm so thankful for what I felt. It gets me excited. And if it quits getting me excited, I don't know what I'd do. But I get excited when I come into the house of the Lord. I get excited when I hear people sing, when God's Spirit begins to move from breast to breast. Now, I want to read scripture that talks about where the Lord touched a man, and he touched him three times. Now, I want to tell you, before we read this, this is not talking about being re-saved. Because when you get saved by the grace of God, you're saved, okay? When you are born again, you're made alive spiritually. That's when the Spirit of God comes inside of you. And once you're born, you don't get reborn. You're saved. It's not talking about being touched the second time by the Holy Spirit of God and receiving the Holy Spirit or the fire of the Spirit. It's talking about when God needs to come and make Himself known in your life. Now, if you'd stand with me for just a minute, if you can, if you'd like to. Mark chapter number 8, we're going to read in the 22nd verse. It says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw aught or anything. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And then after he had put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away into his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to anyone in the town." Now let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we pray that you'd move in amongst us, Lord, as we know that you already are. And God, that you just give us liberty. God, you'd give us understanding, you'd touch our hearts, our minds, our voice, everything, Lord, that needs to be done, would to be done for your honor and glory. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to go place to place and breast to breast, God, to speak to your people. Help us as we get into this, Lord, that we'd honor you. There'd be nothing in it, Lord, it'd be of us, but it'd all be to honor and glorify your name. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. But I want to talk about the touch of God, and I want to look particularly at the fact that he touched him again. Now, the key word in this scripture is again. Now, I want us to consider the power and the value of the touch of Jesus. If you go into the scripture and you look in Mark chapter number 1 and verse 41, it speaks there about where Jesus touched a leper. And it says, "And Jesus moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him." And if you look at the next verse, it says, "Immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Now, that's when Jesus touched a man. Now, this man had leprosy. He could have spoken the words, and the man could have been cleansed, but God touched him. And there's a lot in that, but I want you to see the power in the touch of God. In Matthew chapter number 14, we find the story where there's just two fish and five loaves. Jesus takes the fish and the loaves, and he blesses them. He breaks them, and he gives them to the people. And by him touching the fish and the five loaves, it becomes enough to feed a great multitude. It's because God's hand and God's touch was on those loaves. Now, if you go to another place in the book of Acts, chapter number 4, there were two men there that were preaching. It was Peter and John. And when the people heard him preach, they said, "We perceive that these men have been with Jesus." It wasn't because that Peter and John had great knowledge or great ability, but they had the touch or the power of God upon them. Now, what we need in America today, what we need in our churches today, is we need the touch and the power of God on what we're doing. Without it, it's nothing. Without it, it means nothing. Without it, we can't do anything. Now, I want us to look at our text scripture for just a minute, and I want you to see that there were three touches that Jesus had upon this man. The first touch was when he took him by the hand and he led him out of the town. The second touch was when he spit upon his eyes and he began to touch his eyes. And the third touch was when he touched him again. Now, when you look at this, as I've already said, it's not talking about being resaved. And it's not talking about receiving the Holy Spirit for the first or the second time. But sometimes in our lives, we need God to come in the midst and we need him to touch us again. There's been times in my life to where I would be like this man. I could not see clearly. I could not see everything that I needed to see. And I need God to touch me again. You know, we come in here Sunday after Sunday. Well, why do we keep coming? I want God to touch me again. I want God to move in our midst again. I want God to do something again. And we come looking for him to do that thing. See, and I want us to consider, as we look at this scripture, I want you to look at the touch of God. What does it mean to be touched again? If you go over to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11, I want us to look at three men in this scripture that were touched by God. There was Abel, who was a man of faith, who worshiped God. There was Enoch, who was a man of faith, who walked with God. And there was Noah, a man of faith, who worked for God. And all of those things in our life are where we need the touch of God. Now look at this scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4. It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Now, he was a man of faith and he worshiped God. The next one was Enoch, who was a man of faith who walked with God. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Then you go to the next one, which was Noah, a man of faith who worked for God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Now, if we look at these three, we see that God touched them. God touched them in their worship. God touched them in their walk. And God touched them in their work. Now, I need God to touch me. I need God to touch me in everything that I do. I don't think there's anything in my life that I can try to do that I can say I'll be okay without the touch of God. And you know, I get up on Monday morning and I go to work, folks. I rely on the touch of God on my job. When I go home and I'm trying to raise two boys and I've already got a girl that's out of the house that I talk to sometimes, I need God to touch me in order for me to be able to be the daddy I'm supposed to be. I have a wife that looks at me and she looks at me to trust me to be the man that I'm supposed to be. I need God to touch me in order for me to be able to do that. And should I say that I need God to touch me if I'm going to stand in front of a crowd like this and try to represent the Word of God? We need the touch of God on what we do. We cannot do it by ourselves. We need God's touch. Now, like Enoch, and let's look at him first, we need God to touch us in our walk as we walk through this life. Now, you think about this for just a minute. As we're walking through this life, we need God to touch us, one, because of our fears. Now you think about it for just a minute, and you say, a lot of times a man will say, "Well, I don't fear anything." Well, sometimes I can actually kind of look at it like that. I hear people talk about it and they say, "Well, I'm afraid of snakes."
or I'm afraid of spiders, or I'm afraid of this, or they're here something on the back porch at night and they'll be afraid. I'm not afraid of too much stuff like that. But I want to tell you, there are some things that I'm afraid of. There are some things that I don't like. And one of them as a man is not being in control. I don't like it when things aren't under control. I don't like it when things aren't exactly like I want them to be. I had an incident not that long ago to where I had gotten sick and I had passed out and I was having some trouble with my blood pressure. And I got up, and you know the biggest fear that I had as I crawled from the bathroom back in there to the bed was I had fear that I would not be able to get up and go to work the next morning. I wasn't thinking about what was wrong with me. I was thinking about having children that needed to be fed. And one thing that I do fear is children not being able to be fed. I fear that. Another thing I fear, you look around you at the world that we're living in. We're living in a world where people have no respect for the sanctity of life. You know, I don't fear too many of these bad guys out here. I don't fear too many snakes. I don't fear too many spiders. I don't fear bears in the woods. I don't fear cougars because I don't care what kind of varmint it is. I've generally got something that'll take care of it. But I'll tell you what I fear. I fear having teenage boys walking down the road that'll be murdered. That'll be murdered for their tennis shoes, and people will go home and put their tennis shoes, set it down at the table and eat and not feel any remorse about it. That's something that you can fear. There are things in this world today that we fear because we see that God is being removed from the lives of so many people. And when you see God being removed from the lives of so many people, it brings fear in our hearts. And sometimes I need God to touch me. I need God to touch me to let me know that He's still in control, that He still has the power, and He still has the ability to reach where our arms cannot reach. He's God, and I need Him to touch me because I'm not. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, I need God's power on me because I'm so limited in myself. We need God's love because we're living in a world today where the love of God is waxing cold. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. That's why people can kill somebody for their tennis shoes. That's why people can't go to church together. That's why there's people sitting at home today that won't go anywhere because they're looking for everybody else to be perfect when they're not. They're not. I've just decided. I was listening to a preacher this week that I got the privilege to listen to. And he was talking about how to look at the church. He said, don't look at the church in its present state. He said, look at the church as God sees it. Because I want you to understand something. When God looks at you, He looks through Jesus Christ. He don't look at you like you are, because as you are, you're not worthy. It's only through Jesus. So God's give us love, His love. And He's give us a sound mind. What's that? That settles us and gives us the ability to stand when we're afraid. Because sometimes we're afraid. You know, we need God to touch us in our walk because of our fainting. See, sometimes we get weak. Sometimes the truth is, we just need to lean on Him. You know, sometimes people look at us and they have such high expectations for us that they never expect us to have anything wrong in our life. They never expect you to have any kind of trouble or any kind of hurt. Folks, let me tell you something. We all have hurts. We all have troubles. We all have weaknesses. We all have times that we need to crawl up in the arms of God and let Him comfort us. Sometimes my wife and I, we're so busy, we got so much going on. She told me the other day, she said, I wish I could just come home and you could just rock me. You know what I said? I said to my mom, I said, I wish I could come and you could rock me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we need God to touch us because of our fainting. I want you to know, the Lord said, when I leave, I'll send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, our Paraclete. And He'll lead us and guide us. And I tell you, there's times in my life I need the touch of God. I need the Holy Spirit. I need God to move because I'm limited in my ability. He says His grace is sufficient. Even Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, he understood what this was about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he said, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." There it is. It's the touch of God. You know, if you can do it in yourself, it's not God doing it. Sometimes, and I've said this, I've prayed this week, I've said, "God, you know what the difficulty is. God, you know what the problem is. You know where the obstacle is. And Lord, we need you to move in with your Holy Spirit, because if you don't, we can't do it ourselves. I need God because of my fainting. I need God to help me in my walk. Also because of my falling." So, well, I don't fall. Well, maybe you need to get up here. Heard a guy say one time, he told me, he tried to convince me, he said, "I hadn't sinned in 8 years. And I just looked at him and I said, I'm gonna be watching you. I'm gonna be watching you. You know, the scripture says in Psalms chapter 37, verse 23 and verse 24, maybe this will be encouragement to you. This is an encouraging verse. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Well, what does that mean? That means that God is there to help you when you fall. You know, when you have difficulty, God is there to help you. I try to keep it all together, but I want to tell you something. Sometimes I don't. And sometimes I need God to help me. And I need God to put his hand on me, and I need God to touch me in my walk because of my falling. Now, I don't know about you, but it's kind of like, have you ever heard your kids cry out, and you know by the tone of their voice whether or not they're hurt? You know whether or not they're hurt? You know whether or not they're playing? You know whether or not it's something that you need to drop everything that you're doing and rush to. But I've learned the tone of mine. And when they cry, "Daddy, help me," if the tone is just right, you don't have to open the screen door. I'm going through it to get to them. And I want you to know something. When you cry out to God, he knows. In John chapter 10, he said, "I know mine and I know their voice and they know my voice." And when you cry out, "Abba, Father," he hears you. And he moves on your behalf. You know, we need God to help us in our walk because of the farness of the journey. You know, I've been serving the Lord and going to church all my life. Some of you have been going longer than I have. Some of you not as long. But sometimes it seems like a far journey. It seems like a far journey when you've faced obstacles and you've had troubles and, you know, you've got storm clouds that are brewing over your head and you've got things all around you that are fighting against you and you really just want to serve God and you want to finish strong and you want to be obedient. But sometimes you say, "Lord, where are you?" And here's what you're saying: "Lord, I need you to touch me again. I need you to move in the midst again, because it's a far journey and we can't make it without your help." Because sometimes the truth is, the journey seems long. Now here, you know, we're rejoicing this morning. Oh, I've enjoyed this singing. And I'll be honest with you, Brother Jerry, if y'all just kept on singing, it would have been all right. Because what I sat there and honestly prayed this prayer. I said, "God, if you want me to preach, I'll preach. But if you want this service to break loose, Lord, you just let start people moving to this altar and they'll sing through. I don't want to do anything but what God wants in this service. That's what God wants." What we want. But we're seeking that. Sometimes the journey seems far. And we want to finish it the way God wants us to. If you look at the next one, is Noah. Like Noah, we need to walk with God. And we need God to touch us in our work. Now you think about this. We need God to touch us again in our work because we're few. Do you realize that the harvest is plenty and the workers are few? And just because you pass a building and there's a lot of cars outside of it, it doesn't mean there's a whole lot of work for God going on inside. You see, the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. And sometimes you can come into the house of the Lord and it seems like there's so much that needs to be done if you really have a heart for the things of God. And we need God to touch us because we're few. Because we're becoming less and less popular in this world today. You know, I got a letter this week from the National Center for Life and Liberty. And they were talking about it looks like we've won the Christmas battle. They've decided to keep Christmas. You know, they're moving the sales up. They'll have them before Thanksgiving next year. You watch and see. He said they've decided to keep Christmas, but they've decided to reject the Christians. We're few. Now, how can you have Christmas without Christ? You really can't, but people do it every day. Someone told me this week about a billboard where a little girl, and this was done by an atheistic group, they put a little girl at a desk and she's writing a letter for Christmas. And she said, "All I want for Christmas is to quit believing in fairy tales. I'm tired of going to church." Now, Christmas is about Christ. You know, we need God to help us in our work because we're few, because the fields are white to harvest. Because I'm going to tell you something, Jesus is coming soon. And we need to get ready for Jesus to come. And if there's anybody that you know that's lost, we need to invite them to the house of God, because now is the time and today is the day if we're going to see them saved. We need God to help us because we're frail. You say, "Well, I'm not frail, I'm strong." Well, when I read about Paul and I study about him, he had problems with his eyesight. He had problems with his health. We get up here and sometimes we sing and we have, you know, we got a prayer request list that's a mile long on Wednesday night. And it would be even longer. And it would be even longer if we would just to put everything that's on somebody's heart. You know why? Because every person in here has got something that you're dealing with. Everybody in here has got something going on in your life. You've got something going on with your health. You've got loved ones that need to be saved. You've got family members that are in trouble. You've got family members that are in disarray. Everybody in here has got something that you're struggling with. And if it weren't for the touch of God, where would we be? How close are we to being really, critically in danger of falling away? What do we need? We need the touch of God. We need God to touch us. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Don't be weary. You know, sometimes I hear folks and they say, "Well, you know, it's just getting so difficult. It's just getting so tough. I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to do the right things. And it seems like the more I try to do the right things, the more difficult it is." Exactly right. You know why? It's the next one. We need God to touch us in our work because of our foe. Do you realize that the enemy of God, the devil, wants to keep you from serving God? He wants to create any kind of obstacle he can in your life to keep you from being in the house of God. He wants to keep you from coming on Sunday morning. And you know what sometimes people will say? I heard a preacher tell me this one time. He said, "I'd preach and I'd be right with God." He said, "But my wife just won't do right." Now, ladies, I'm not throwing that at you. You know what? I've heard ladies say that too. "I'd be serving God, but my husband won't do right. I'd be doing right, but my kids won't do right." You know what you need to do? You need to do right for you. And you need to trust God, because there's just some things in our life that we can't change ourselves. You know, it doesn't matter what the rest of the world does. I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. Okay, it doesn't matter who decides. It doesn't matter who doesn't like it. It doesn't matter who doesn't want it. I'm going to serve the Lord. Okay? And what we need to do is we just need to be obedient. There are folks today that have let the enemy throw obstacles in their life, and they're not here with us worshiping, enjoying the fellowship of the house of God and the sweet Holy Spirit, because they've let the enemy throw a stumbling block in front of them. Until you decide that you're going to tie a knot in the end of the rope and you're going to hang on and you're going to trust God, you're going to be defeated all your life. See, what God wants you to do is trust Him and let Him do what you can't do. You know what I prayed this morning before coming to church? I said, God, I want to go over there, and Lord, I want Your Spirit to be free. I want You to have liberty in this place. And I said, God, I want to do what I'm supposed to do. But Lord, I realize there's only so much I can do, and I want You to do what You do. Amen. We can't do it. You know what? We need the touch of God. We need the touch of God on our lives. Like Enoch, like Noah, and like Abel. See, Abel was a man of faith who had the touch of God, who worshiped God. We need God to touch us in our worship. Do you understand that we cannot worship without the touch of God? See, sometimes people come together, but I like the Spirit of God. You know, it amazes me, and sometimes I travel to different places, and I've got to go somewhere for a few days next week. And, you know, when I run into Christians, this is how I know they're Christians. When you talk to them, the Spirit bears witness. And people that are Christians like talking about Jesus. You know, you can get on a Bible subject and you can just have fellowship and you can talk about the Lord and you just have such a good time. What I don't understand is why somebody says, I'm a Christian, but they don't like talking about Jesus. They don't like talking about God's Word. They don't like reading God's Word. They don't like coming to Sunday school. They don't like the Bible. They don't like preaching. They don't like singing. And God forbid the Holy Spirit jump on them and scare them to death. Amen. We can't worship without the touch of God. We need God in our worship. There's nothing wrong with saying, glory, glory to God. The Lord is in this place. When we get to heaven, if you get to heaven, it's going to jump on you. You might be sophisticated here. You're not going to be able to help it up there. The problem in churches today is we've gotten so sophisticated sometimes that we've quit letting God have His way. In Ezekiel chapter 12, and I've mentioned this several times, there was a place where Ezekiel was told. He said, I want you to pack all your stuff. And he said, I want you to walk out in the middle of the day in front of the people. He said, I want you to have it on your back. And he said, when you walk out in front of them, you walk slow enough they can see you. And they start asking you questions. And they asked him, what are you doing? And of course, Ezekiel represented the Lord. And here's what the message was. God said, I'm leaving. And in America today, we're living in a time to where there are people who honor the Lord with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. Amen. And what they don't realize in a lot of the churches today is that God has moved out, but they don't even recognize it. And they're not asking Him for Him to come back because they don't realize that He's left. It's not a social place. It's a place we come to worship a living God. I heard a preacher say this, and it means so much. He said, worship is an act of intimacy between a believer and his God. And only a true believer can understand it. That's why, you know, when you come into the house of the Lord and you're lost and you see people acting the way we do, it's strange. Because you don't have that. But here's the thing about it. The Holy Spirit of God is only found in Christianity. It's not in Islam. It's not Hinduism, not Buddhism. It's the only place you're going to come where the Spirit of God will speak to you. Just like He did me when I got saved, and to let you know, that preacher's talking to you. God's talking to you. You see, worship is an act of intimacy between a believer and his God. Only a true believer can understand it. You can't work it up. You can't do anything to raise it up. You used to have to ask God to send it down. You see, here's what worship does. Worship, when we come together, it reminds us that we're forgiven. See, I'm here today not because I'm good, not because I figured it out, not because I've passed any classes or done anything right. I'm here because I'm forgiven. Because I cried out for mercy. The preacher preached, and I can remember when the preacher preached, and it's just like cold water being poured in my face when God spoke to me and said, that preacher's talking to you. When I come and worship, I'm worshiping a God that took my place. Reminds me that I'm forgiven. But here's something else. It reminds me that I'm favored. It said when God looks at us and we're in His presence and we feel His presence, we're in fellowship with the Father. It lets us know that we're favored. It's like when He moves in beside us with His Holy Spirit and He reaches over and He takes you by the hand. And He lets you know that you belong to Him. And it's just evidence that there is a relationship between you and the Father that's intimate, that you can worship Him in spirit and in truth because you belong to Him. And worship, we need the touch of God because it tells us that we have a future. Now you think about this for just a minute. We have a future as Christians. I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord. And if you say, well, I really hadn't thought much about it, you need to. You need to. You know, a lot of times people, they'll spend so much time, they'll take the SAT 4 or 5 times. They'll go to this school, they'll go to that school, they'll get out, and if they're like most folks, they're never satisfied in any job they got. You go through life and you try to make as much money as you have. You buy houses, you buy boats, you have hobbies, you have this, you have that. You find you're never satisfied because you don't have a relationship with a living God. See, I want you to know, you can have contentment here. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. You know the times in my life that I've been the most miserable? It's when I've needed the touch of God the most. It's when I was the coldest and the most distance from the presence of God. Doesn't mean, folks, now listen, I'm not talking about being lost. I got saved when I was 12. But I'm talking about not being in fellowship with God. I'm talking about going into church and sitting in a service like we've had today and looking around and seeing everybody praising God and not being able to praise Him yourself. That's when you say, God, I need You. Lord, would You please touch me again? And He does. I want to ask the singers, if you would, to come on and get ready to sing whatever God's laid on your heart. One time my dad was a preacher, and I'm going to tell you a quick story, and then I'm going to let him sing. My dad told me this story. He said that the Lord told him when he was a young preacher to do something one time. He said, God put it on my heart in a service, in a church service. He said, God told me to stand up and testify. He said, God began to move on my heart, and it was so heavy. He said, I didn't do it. He said, I just wouldn't do it. He said, and he said, you know, God even gave me a thought of what He wanted me to say, and He said, I wouldn't do it. And he said, after a few minutes, he said, that spirit left. And he said, it wasn't but just a few minutes. He said, I looked, and another brother stood up, and he said the same thing that God told me to say. And he said, God began to speak to me. And he said, for 1 year I went to church. And he said, I couldn't feel the presence of the Lord. He said, I knew I needed to be in the house of God. He said, I know I wasn't lost. He said, but God was trying to teach me something. And he said, I got ready that the next time God spoke to me, he said, I moved. You know what? You want the touch of God, you got to be willing to move when God speaks to you. And if God spoke to you this morning as you rise to your feet, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, right now you can know Him. If you're here and you don't have the presence and the touch of God in your life, you can have it. The altars are open if you'd like to pray as they sing.
Oh, come, O ye faithful, joyful, triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem.
Of the Lord. We really appreciate y'all coming and singing. Amen. Great. Have y'all got one more to sing? I'm going to let y'all sing as we go out.
We'll do it as you go out.
Okay. All right. I really enjoyed hearing them sing. I appreciate you coming. Thank you for coming. And we hope you got something from being in the house of the Lord. I love being in the house of the Lord. Amen. I mean, I say this a lot. It's better than the Super Bowl. I was watching these games, and Matthew said, "Oh, man, I'd like to be at that Alabama game. I'd like to be at that." Yeah, I would, too, but I'd rather be here. I'm going to be honest with you. There ain't no place I'd rather be in Sunday morning than in the house of the Lord. Amen? As they sang, you shake hands with one another, and you'll be at liberty to go. Amen. Oh, one thing. We got a finance meeting at 5 o'clock. I was supposed to announce that for the finance group. Building grounds at 4:30. I did squeeze that in. Amen? Now you can be at liberty to go.
Sin is separated, man's communion with God, longing for Messiah to come. But in just one evening, things were changed forevermore with the announcement from angels above.
Christ is born,
let all the world proclaim.
Christ is born,
things will never be the same.
God is here
to bring peace to everyone. Joy is here and lives all for Christ is born.
World was looking for a king to be born, but born in gold, power, and might.
But he was poor in his surroundings, but rich in majesty. Follow the star and you will see.
Christ
is born, let all the world proclaim.
Christ is born,
never be the same. God is here to bring peace to everyone. Joy is here and lives on, for Christ is born.
Christ is born,
let all the world proclaim.
Christ is born,
never be the same.
God is here
to bring peace to everyone. Joy is here and lives on, for Christ is born.
God is here
to bring peace to everyone. Joy is here and lives on, for Christ.